Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week two of holiday favorites slash a movie I wanted to do about the holidays month.
Holiday movie.
Which is traditionally Matt's pick. Matt, before we get to your pick, why don't you tell our listeners about our Friendsgiving slash PA football slash holiday party we'll be having.
Yeah, well, you know, I was super bummed that we didn't get to host Thanksgiving this year.
Yes.
Had to, you know, drive to places and traffic and all that fun stuff about Thanksgiving.
There was traffic.
There was, yeah, you know, because northbound 95 is always a shit show no matter what time. Actually, no. The only time of day it isn't a shit show is when I get up to go for work. But I wasn't going to go to your parents' house that early.
God, no.
Found out that we couldn't host after I ordered a big-ass bird.
I'm excited for this big-ass bird.
I'm just going to cook it for my friends and make a Friendsgiving.
Slash, it's also the same day that the Steelers play the Eagles.
Yes, we will be a sack divided.
A sack divided.
Yes.
One on each end of the seam.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to spatchcock this turkey?
Yes. No, let's see how many penis references we can put into this. I'm going to spatchcock it.
Ooh.
So what involves, like, where is the spatch and where does the cock come into play?
Where does the cock come into play? Well, usually in the front, unless your proclivities are in the back.
And did you decide if it's cold or hot?
Yeah.
Well, I like it if it were warm so that I could just, you know, go full liar again and be like,
oh.
We never figured out when we watched
that. Wait, you can't stuff a spatchcocked bird.
You really can, because you cut the spine out of it, and then you split it, you break its breastplate.
Yeah.
And then you lay it flat. There's really no orifice for you to stuff it with your stuffing.
That's so hot.
I mean, we never got the answer when we watched that Hot Frosty movie of does he have a dick and is it cold? Would it have melted if they had had sex?
We never got
that answer.
Okay. Can you describe the features of a snowman, please? What are the buttons made of? Cold.
Oh,
do you think he had long and pointy?
You think he had a carrot dick?
I'm telling you, he had a carrot dick. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because, yeah, I reviewed it on Letterboxd and I was like, two stars.
You did?
I did. I was like, two stars. I watched this movie drunk and I had fun making fun of it with my friends.
Yes.
But I hated it because they never explained how the snowman fucked.
No.
My word they for didn't. Word review.
They yeah. didn't fuck, though.
Now, well, if they bumped brother, uglies, he'd melt.
Your brother only gave it one star.
Yeah.
Well, Steve is also going to be making a ham.
It's the hammiest of hams.
Yeah, he's
the
making hammiest. A very special ham.
Why is this ham so special?
Well, you see, it's from a Scandinavian descent.
Oh, Lord.
It's of a Scandinavian origin.
Oh, do we get to wear crowns
yes,
with candles
on them? Yes, we can wear crowns
them?
With candles.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so
and
excited.
I can't wait until...
I'm going to make one for you.
I can't wait until Guido tries to make his lamb kookins or googins. What were they?
Googins.
They're googins. And let me tell you... About no.
Well, we could combine that movie with Midsummer, and we could put you in like a something and set it on fire, so we put you out of your misery.
Can we drop you off of the roof and then smash you with a hammer?
You don't have to drop me. I will leap.
No, this group historically only makes mains.
This
so
is very true.
I don't know what kind of a Friendsgiving this is going to be.
It's competitive.
They're gonna be like, I don't know what to make.
We're gonna spread the word of we already have two meats. We don't need any more.
It's been meat splained to people.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So Guido's on bread duty.
Fuck.
So excited about that.
Maybe we can just get John to make mac and cheese.
What do you think mixing mac and cheese sounds like?
Ew.
Interesting.
Wait. I mean, over there, it probably sounds like... Rawr!
Why?
This is John.
I've never heard him make these sounds before.
What are you talking
about?
He's
going to make burgers. He made very good burgers.
Oh, yeah. It was really all. No.
They were really good.
I never complain when John makes anything.
Wait, no. He's making burgers
he makes
for Friendsgiving?
Food.
No, he
makes
made burgers
food.
When we were over there. Maybe you guys should go to therapy together.
Maybe we
should.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get Dr. Wong.
Maybe you can get Dr. Wong. To be your therapist.
What a piece of fucking shit that
his,
guy is. I would like to see where his doctor
is. And his dad is not.
My mother was Irish.
Speaking of Dr. Wong, played by actor B.D. Wong.
Oh. There went my fun fact.
Oh, sorry. Also, who also happens to play Dr. Wong in Law & Order SVU.
Well, there went my other fun fact. God damn it, woman.
It's spelled differently.
How do you spell Wong differently?
I would like to know.
It's H-U-A-N-G, so it's Huang.
Oh, yeah. Fine.
I thought doctor was going to be spelled different.
That's not Wong.
Yes, it's with a K.
That's Huang.
All right, well, tell us about your pick, Matt.
My movie came out in 1994. It had an estimated budget of $11 million. It made a worldwide gross of approximately $11.5 million.
So it was well-received.
And a Rotten Tomato score of 74%. My movie is called The Ref.
See these two people? I hate these people.
How can we both be in the marriage and I'm miserable and you're content?
Luck. It was Christmas Eve in Connecticut. I was minding my own business, breaking into this rich guy's house when... I ran into this dog. I hate this dog. My partner Murray was waiting for me outside. Murray's an idiot. Murray. This is Santa Claus. Not the real Santa Claus, just some drunk guy pretending to be Santa Claus. Anyways, the cops came. I took those two people hostage in that house that I hate. And guess what? Their relatives showed up. Why? Because it's Christmas Eve, remember? Remember how much I said I hated those two people? That's nothing compared to how I feel about the rest of their family.
And it was...
Get your paper ready. Wait out.
Get my fucking notes.
I don't know where the title came from. I'm still trying to figure that out. Oh, Referee of the Family
That's
Event.
That's what I'm thinking.
The British title was called Hostile Hostages.
I don't like that.
Because apparently, yeah.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I feel like Hostile Holiday would be good.
It was directed by Ted Demme, who we may all remember from as a Quad Pro Quo alum with Ally's pick, Beautiful Girls.
What? With Michael Rapaport?
Oh yeah, thank God he's not in this.
Yes, thank God.
That'd be amazing.
Or else he'd be ruffling two pages.
Well, we don't know who the wife fucked. It might have been Michael Rapaport.
And he also directed the movie Life, that Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence movie.
You gonna say who his brother is? You gonna say who his brother is?
Who's his?
The director of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, Jonathan Demme.
Jonathan Demme is his brother.
Holy shit.
It was written by Marie Weiss. She only literally had one other writing credit. It was a made-for-TV movie called The Christmas List.
Ooh.
For all we know, she could be a pen name, and she was the one that wrote Hot Frosty and
Hot Frosty
and The Merry Gentleman.
Oh, that's what that Chad Michael Murray one's called, The Merry Gentleman. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it was also written by Richard Le Gravesay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's known for The Horse Whisperer. He was nominated for an Academy Award for The Fisher King.
Yeah, he's kind of a big
And he
deal.
Also wrote P.S. I Love You.
Ugh.
Did we ever find out what he was whispering to those horses?
Dicks.
Big old horse.
Foreskin.
Foreskin.
Big old horse dicks.
That has Scarlett Johansson in it.
It does.
That was one of the videos that Carol bought from the video store after they were selling them for like $5.
Oh, nice.
So we own that one. We also had...
What's the one Matt Damon?
All the Pretty Horses.
All the Pretty Horses.
We also had Up Close and Personal.
Oh my God, my grandmother loved that movie.
No
Black Beauty?
It's so good.
Robert Redford and Michelle
Another Pfeiffer. Prison movie.
Up Close and Personal?
Yeah. Remember?
In the showers?
They go to the prison in Pennsylvania and she shoots and there's a riot in the prison.
Right. Forgot.
Yes.
And
I might choose that one.
Oh.
And, okay, so it stars Dennis Leary. We all know him as, you know, the famous stand-up, but he's also known for Operation Dumbo Drop.
Love, saw it in the theater.
Demolition Man.
Didn't see it in the theater.
And A Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah. I saw the likeness.
Is he the makeup is great in A Bug's
Life. No, Kevin Spacey's the grasshopper.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's the ladybug.
Practical effects.
This is the second time that they worked together. Yeah, they were in A Bug's Life.
I love A Bug's Life.
Yeah, he was the ladybug. Also starring Judy Davis. When we watched it, when I showed it to Allie, she was like, oh, she's great. And I'm like, what the fuck else has she been in? And I looked at her IMDb. It's like, it's this. I mean, movie-wise, it's this. She was in the adaptation of Naked Lunch and Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
And then there's like a lot of TV stuff.
Do you think this is a wig?
I don't know, because she had notoriously terrible hair.
Her hair is so
bad. Her hair looks like a 14-year-old boy that sleeps all day and gets shock treatments at night.
Yeah.
She looks malnourished.
No.
She's not getting all of her vitamins.
Who was the singer that was at that on the way down?
Saw you. Oh, Ryan Cabrera.
Yes. That is her hair.
For me, she looked like Gozer the Gozerian.
Yeah,
kind of. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Are you gods?
Sans the bubble suit.
Had an affair.
I said it on my episode. So that movie, The Breakup, with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Billingsley's in it.
Yeah.
Judy Davis is her boss at the art gallery. That's Judy Davis. She's the one who's like, get the Telly Savalas. She was a lot of theater.
It's such a small part. A
lot of theater. She's been nominated for Oscars. It was the year Marissa Tomei won.
When we were talking about this earlier, and Guido was just like, fuck this person. I'm like, how the fuck do you know this person to hate her so much?
Have you met Guido?
I don't like her face. I don't like her voice. I don't like her. I don't like anything about this woman. I hope she gets locked in her house.
Can we call her Mrs. Ryan Cabrera?
Mrs. Ryan Cabrera.
Drunk from that dumb bitch juice.
I will do my best.
And you know what's worse? The character. She's a selfish whore. Fuck that bitch.
He doesn't like her because she's a cheater. Cheater pumpkin eater.
This movie also stars Richard Bright. He's also known for the Godfather series.
One that insists upon itself.
He plays Al Neri. He's also known for The Getaway.
The original?
Nominated for an Academy Award for that. And last but not least, Kevin Spacey.
K-Pax himself.
Who is known for the movie Edison, Being a Scumbag, and Fred
Seven.
Claus.
Allegedly.
Seven.
Two-time Academy Award winner.
He is making a comeback, so it's very appropriate that you've chosen this movie.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess I'm helping with that. I apologize.
You're paving the way.
I did watch Seven the other day.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I
Spacey's in the air.
I love this movie, and I love the movies that I saw with him in it before. Now I'm just like,
I really liked American Beauty. It had the best boobs I've seen in a movie in a long time.
That's something.
Which ones?
Yeah.
No. Which boobs did you think were the best ones?
The healthy ones.
Thora Birch's.
Thora Birch.
Yeah, those.
Lack thereof with the other one.
The girl from Hocus Pocus.
Do you see Mina Suvari's boobs in them?
Not the one built for speed.
Hers are covered by the rosebud, so I don't think you really see them.
Yeah.
You don't see Thora Birch's.
Oh, does he plays the same character?
Yeah,
it's a very similar character.
Yeah, that is one of my fun facts.
I'm sorry.
It's one of two films in which Kevin Spacey plays a jaded, cynical man in a failing marriage.
Yeah.
Other being American Beauty, released 5 years later. And in this film, Kevin Spacey's character's wife is married to a woman named Caroline. In American Beauty, his wife's name is Carolyn.
He just plays the best spurned husbands. He can do that because he's actually a gay.
Yeah, because he hates women.
A gay?
Mm-hmm.
Let alone many gays that would necessitate an entire rack.
All right. Going around the room, had you seen this movie? What'd you think of my pick? Allie?
I actually hadn't seen this movie. I always hear about it. I feel like Kyle really likes this movie. And I just hadn't watched it because Dennis Leary kind of annoys me. So yeah, I was excited to watch it.
Great. Tammy?
I had not seen it. And I was surprised to find out that it was a different agenda item.
You could have watched this with the kiddos.
No, yeah, kidding. Right.
Now there's kidding. A lot. Yeah, there's a lot of cursing.
I'm kidding.
So yeah, my heart was set on a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Guido.
I have seen this movie once before on the Comedy Central many, many moons ago. But that's it has not left a lasting impression, but I got to bone up on it again. So I look forward to discussing this ugly woman with you.
You mean Mrs. Ryan Cabrera?
Nah. Her fucking dog shit mother-in-law, they're both terrible. Oh, yeah. Don't forget
Isn't
the other...
she and...
No, that fucking Yoo-Hoo lady from...
The sister-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can be quite...
Isn't the mom in Christmas Vacation, too?
She's in While You Were Sleeping.
What's her name? Little Miss See-Who? She's in The Grinch.
That's a different lady.
Christine Baranski is in the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
The mom is also the mom in Mary Poppins, the original Mary
She's
Poppins.
Not a good person.
Oh, I loved her.
Yeah, I know. She's great.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to lie. Yes. I know when we were discussing this movie, and full disclosure to our listeners, I originally was going to pick A Muppet Christmas Carol. But then we watched The Lighthouse. And then just all of us talking about shit and dicks and cum about that movie. I didn't want to sully one of my favorite movies from my childhood.
Oh, we weren't gonna.
That was just me.
We can't talk about Miss Piggy and Kermit.
Getting it on?
No.
You know it. She gives dry hand jobs.
Dry.
No trouble insinuating the parents in the Christmas Story were fucking on the stairs.
Yeah.
But no, we can't talk about like fucking Gonzo blue fingering people. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
And Miss Piggy not spitting into her hand before she gives you a handy.
What can I say?
It's a hoovie.
If I am anything, I am a hypocrite. Yeah, I understand that.
You are.
But also, I picked this movie because while it's not as festive as my previous choice, I really just like how it does accurately, it can depict family around the holidays. And the dialogue about families and about relationships around the holidays is, I felt like, top notch.
Humbug.
And it's got some great performances in it.
Okay.
So yeah, sorry that we're not shilling for the House of Mouse right now and talking about Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's got my favorite accused rapist.
Oh gosh.
Which one? You have more than one. What? You like Kevin Spacey?
Oh, no. I only have one favorite anti-Semite, my man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right,
man. Good old Mel.
He's got more than one famous
accused rapist.
Accused. It's important.
All right, so this starts out in an idyllic small town on Christmas Eve. And everyone seems to be in the Christmas spirit. We're seeing carolers, police officers walking around saying hi to everybody and being like, how you doing? Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's enjoying the Christmas spirit except for our two main characters, Caroline, Judy Davis, and Lloyd, Kevin Spacey, Chaucer. It's 18th century French Huguenot.
Like Chaucer?
Chaucer.
Oh.
It's French.
They're having a therapy session on Christmas Eve with Dr. Wong?
Yes. Currently in marriage counseling, it's not going well. And yes, their doctor is Dr. Wong, played by actor B.D. Wong, who you may know as...
Dr. Wong from Law & Order SVU.
SVU. He's also the geneticist in Jurassic Park.
His name is not Wong in that
His
movie.
Name is not Wong in that. His name is like...
Looked it Long, up just to be careful.
Long Dong or something.
I liked him on The Office.
And this is, again, a thing that I liked about this movie. Because just the dialogue, just back and forth, is going off like this, like... She's talking about some dream where she's like, I had this dream where I was having a salad and they brought it out and Lloyd's head was on it and his penis was sticking out of the ear. I didn't order this. Well, you have to try it, but don't eat the penis. It's a garnish. And then B.D. Wong's like, Lloyd, what do you think about this? And Kevin Spacey's just like, I wish you'd stop telling our friends about it at dinner parties.
God, the way like, he speaks, yeah. The punctuate, the, he's, I wish you'd talk about friends. Like, it's very,
And then another fun fact, despite this movie taking place during Christmas, this movie was first released in theaters in March. So maybe that's why it only grossed 11.5.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with her. I mean, who cast that palette junkie? I mean,
oh my God.
Sunken I have in Scarecrow.
The back and forth is great. It's almost like it was written by like the person who wrote Gilmore Girls or something like that. It's very, very fast.
Maybe Mary Weiss is...
Amy Sherman-Palladino?
Yeah, maybe. Oh. It's a pen name.
Palomino?
Palladino.
Oh.
Meanwhile, our other main character, Cat, he's a burglar named Gus, is trying to rob a house. Similar results as the Chaucer's marriage counseling doesn't go well. Like a previous Christmas movie with a heist that we've done before, he falls prey to a booby-trapped safe.
It's very elaborate.
Where he gets sprayed by cat piss, gets thrown through a trap door, and falls onto a pool table, where he's then mauled by a dog that just ate a billiard ball. But now the whole town is on alert. While again, the Chaucers are arguing about getting a divorce in their car, Caroline goes into a store and is then taken hostage by Gus, and he demands he takes them back to their house.
Oh, that's right.
And now we're also introduced to the head cop who's going to be investigating this burglary, Lieutenant Huff, who's played by Raymond J. Barry. He's a famous that guy. You might know him from original Law & Order. He was also in Walk Hard, a Dewey Cox story. The wrong kid died! Wrong kid died!
Uh-huh.
I love
Dewey
him.
Dewey Cox's dad. He's getting an earful of shit from, like, the upright townspeople brigade, and he's having none
funny
of
duddies.
It. He's like, anytime anything real serious happens here, you go to your lawyer friends and your judge friends. You only call me when some kid's playing a prank or your gay dogs are fucking each other. Wasn't gonna say.
Come on.
Yeah, it seems like he maybe, like, this was his second career. Like, he was probably, like, a cop in New York City, and then he retired to be a chief of police, but it's, like, this small town. Yeah, it's kind of like Hot Fuzz.
This movie, yeah, it's just a continuing thing, you know, every time we go back to the Shell Stairs, they're just arguing incessantly, much to the dismay of Gus. You hear Dennis Leary being like, I hijacked my fucking parents, because he's just like, he's trying to like get their attention. He's like, hey, I have a gun, I'm sitting behind you in the car, shut the fuck up. But they're not.
Yeah, this they entire car arguing. Is very annoying.
And they run in and they run a stop sign because they're arguing. But of course, Kevin Spacey did nothing wrong. He called the other person an asshole, and we go on. And then we're introduced to the third Schlosser family member, their son Jesse, who is played by Robert J. Steinmiller. So we did get a glimpse of how this kid is in the marriage counseling session. Like, Caroline's like, and he blames me for Jesse. He's just a special boy. There's nothing wrong with him. And then Kevin Spacey's like, there's nothing wrong with him. The mafia gives him scholarships for his behavior. We find out that everything Kevin Spacey said about this kid is true, because he is currently blackmailing his military school superintendent, who is named Siskel, who is played by another Law & Order SVU alum. Can't use him for that movie.
You can't. He plays a recurring character.
Because he gets replaced by B.D. Wong. He was the original SVU psychoanalyst.
Skoda.
Played by none other than Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons.
Woo.
You may know him from Spider-Man. You may know him from his Academy Award winning role in Whiplash, or the role of the voice of the yellow peanut M&M.
Or the insurance company.
So the kid just stole his pictures of Spider-Man?
Well, the kid... No, what happened was the kids took pictures of J. Jonah Jameson getting it on with somebody that isn't Mrs. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Fun fact, this is his first movie.
Really?
Screenwriter Richard Lagervenzny.
Right.
He named the school superintendent after film critic Gene Siskel because
he hated him.
The writer hated him and named him after Siskel on purpose because Siskel thought that his nomination for the Fisher King was the most bogus nomination of the 1991 Academy Awards.
Caddy. Throwing shade.
And then meanwhile, Siskel was bemused by the anti-homage. He said it was a strange break from the film's reality, and he only wished that it was like an actor like Jack Nicholson had played him.
Connecticut sucks. Okay. He says at one point, you know, that it's the fifth layer of hell. I was like, this man has never been to New Jersey.
The levels of hell descend.
Yeah, and they get colder.
Yeah, but they also get worse.
Yeah.
So for all we know, Connecticut is the fifth layer, and then
Jersey, I see what you, okay.
Yeah, is lower.
What do you mean, like the 39th level?
So it's past Satan's butthole? Yeah, why not? Back at the Schlosser house, Lloyd and Caroline continue arguing. Now Gus interjects.
He referees a little bit.
Yeah, he throws himself in as a ref. He has them all tied up. He then shoves them down on the ground. In this part, Lloyd, Kevin Spacey, asks Gus, Dennis Leary, what his name is, and Gus says, fuck you, that's my name. This line was more famously spoken in Glengarry Glen Ross by Kevin Spacey. We're now introduced to the extended family, which includes Lloyd's mother, who is played by Glynis Johns, who you know from Mary Poppins, his brother Gary, Adam Lefebvre, Gary's wife, or Lloyd's sister-in-law, Connie, who's played by Christine Baranski, well-renowned actress known for Adam's Family Values. She was on that TV show, The Good Wife. Guido said
The Grinch.
Yeah, that
the
terrible Grinch. Live-action Grinch.
Lots of theater, Broadway work.
They're all eating dinner now at a restaurant on their way down because apparently Caroline is a batshit crazy cook and they don't want to eat her fucked up food.
Oh.
I don't blame her.
Late. Like, why are they eating Christmas Eve dinner at like midnight?
It's a glue-on.
Like, they're not supposed to get there till 9?
Well, they don't open presents until midnight,
that
Allie.
Do people do that?
Or
is
it they, like, is that these like a rich fucking thing? Weird no. Connecticut people do that.
They wait till it's the stroke of midnight. And
yeah,
then
because then
maybe
it's Christmas.
Maybe they live far away. Like, do they live?
Well, no, they
like,
live in they live in Boston.
That's not. Oh. Yeah. So that, yeah. No.
Stay there.
But then again, I mean, you know, I
the town. Guess, they live in the town.
I guess maybe
Shine.
Since, I guess maybe since the mom's British, they're like eating by European standards because don't they eat dinner super late over there?
I know, but it's just I've never heard of people waiting till the stroke of midnight and then being like, it's Christmas now. Let's, so like, do you just sleep all day? Like, it's late.
Look,
like,
you've seen this movie. You've seen how terrible these people become. So
yeah,
it's just par for the course.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the movie. Kevin Spacey's cast against the fucking Crypt Keeper and they're supposed to be romantically involved.
Gosh.
Does the Crypt Keeper have an extra bone?
Well, I was going to say Kevin Spacey's character probably would more favor like the son, you know, a young boy.
Hear me out.
All right, what do you got?
Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Harry being electrocuted.
Yes, that is this woman.
At the sink.
That's exactly what she looks like.
You mean Marv. Marv.
Marv, yeah.
So now Gus is also looking for his sidekick, Murray.
His chain-smoking special needs partner?
Yeah, Murray. He calls a dive bar and he's like, I'm looking for a guy.
I'm looking for a guy in finance. He's like, five blue eyes.
He's like, I'm looking for, you know, a pathetic loser. And the bartender's like, that's everybody here. And then he says, just ask for Murray. He says, Murray. Nobody answers. And he's like, okay, can you say, is there a fucking piece of shit waste of life named Murray there? And the bartender says it, and then he's like, that's Gussie.
Oh my gosh,
he must mean Murray. Yeah, he is, you know, he's almost Special Jack or Simple Jack, not fully Simple Jack.
Please don't hurt me.
Aww.
So now he tells Murray that he has to try and find a way to get them out of town. He says, why don't you try and find a fucking boat? Another argument, and Gus does what we all wish we could do sometimes when our family is arguing, shoving them on the floor, holding them at gunpoint, and telling them to shut the fuck up.
What are you gonna do, shoot me? Bitch, I would have shot you 70 minutes ago when this movie started.
They get interrupted by the neighborhood guy dressed up as Santa Claus who likes to go around and hand people fruitcakes. Who the f-
And get wasted in other people's homes. Drunk.
I have never had a fruitcake.
It's not good.
I've never had one either.
It's not good at all.
And the neighborhood Santa, when he's talking about it, he's telling them that there's now going to be the owner of the home that Dennis Leary burgled. He's offering a reward of $100,000, and there's also going to be a curfew.
Well, isn't like a string of robberies?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, okay. Yeah, he's been up here for a while. Yeah, he's hitting the area. That's why
bandits.
That's why the rich folk were all up in arms with the lieutenant. Gus is now just walking around while Lloyd and Caroline are tied up. Gus is investigating the house and finds out again that he gets into Jesse's room and he finds out that Jesse is the ne'er-do-well piece of shit that the town thinks he is. Because he did, in fact, steal the baby Jesus from the manger. And we also catch a glimpse of, you know, of Kevin Spacey's great acting as he pretends to get an erection while being rubbed up against by a woman.
Yeah, they do get a little excited.
Yeah,
on the bed.
He got a boner because of friction.
Ugh, she's warm
like
from a woman.
And then, you know, Gus he walks in and he's like, wow, Lloyd, didn't know you had it in you.
But he watches for a little bit.
He knew about
it. He's turned on.
He knew.
He's definitely playing some pocket pool in the doorway.
His kink is, you know, waspy white people from.
He's a watcher?
He's just sitting there.
He likes Scandinavian food.
Just sitting there chain smoking the cigarettes and like.
He definitely puts a cigarette.
He likes
out
to watch
himself.
Shorter versions of Marv from Home Alone. Fuck a pedophile.
He's not.
I'm sorry.
I don't think he's a pedophile.
And again, surprisingly, another argument ensues. We get a surprisingly good rant.
You both think you have some right to life working out the way you want it to, and if it doesn't, you get to act any way you want. Problem with that is someone still has to be responsible. I'd love to run around taking classes and playing with my inner selfness. I'd love the freedom to be a pissed off criminal without any responsibility, except I don't have the time. But you don't see me with a gun.
Again, the staccato way of like speaking.
Mm-hmm. But,
wish they would stop talking about friends about it. It's like, he sounds like a 1930s Cub reporter.
And then it's interrupted by Leary basically doing a stand-up stick. And here's the thing about you guys. You are just stuck up rich white people. Blah, blah, blah. I'm so tired of that.
It's a lot of monologuing in this.
It's just talking at people.
Talking at people, yes. Which is kind of, Beautiful Girls is a little bit similar.
It did remind me of that.
And then Jesse finally comes home.
Oh, in a limo, right?
Yeah, because
I love that.
he's blackmailing his superintendent.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
So he's got money for a limo. He probably, if he didn't have to go home, he was going to go to the Plaza Hotel, get a room with a little fridge that needs a key, and all that other stuff.
The Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza Hotel.
Credit card? You got it.
So back at the police station, the lieutenant gets a copy of the security camera footage of Gus.
Oh, before he gets sprayed in the face with the piss?
Yeah, but again, his inept subordinates prove the townspeople right that
bunch
the cops
of
suck here because they tape over it with clips. Because they were watching It's a Wonderful Life.
You see, kids, they were watching this using a VCR. You would put a VHS tape into it and watch a movie. But if something was on TV, you could record over it way too easily.
None of the people that listen to our podcast.
Don't be exclusionary, Tammy. Be inclusive.
I'm just saying.
Okay. We don't draw a young crowd.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You guys haven't been pushing it on your nieces and nephews all holiday season?
Not really.
So they can hear terms like, what was it, those gross things you said in the lighthouse? Like
meaty chungus?
No, it's the other thing you're talking about. You smell like something.
You smell like rotten dick, like curdled foreskin?
No, but there was a specific word you said that I, on the episode, I'm like, it's not schmegma, but like something like that.
Hey, let's go even further back.
That's a medical term.
I know it is. It's vile.
Yeah, let's go even further back. Remember we were talking about sunshine, and Tammy kept saying if we kept talking about salt burn, she was going to describe what a fistula
yes,
was?
Yes, that's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, Tammy, that was gross.
Come on, tell your nieces and nephews.
All right, we discussed Guido's belly button lint, too.
That's I keep it in a jar by my bed.
Ew.
Amelia saw the jar with the lint in it, and I told her that that was Daddy's belly button lint. And she asked him a couple days later, and she's like, why do you keep your belly button lint?
Told her I was going to save it to make yarn to make a sweater.
Ew.
He's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, it's next to your bed. Ew.
I laughed so hard.
So funny.
So hey, Murray does good and finds a boat. But wait, it's occupied by a woman named Linda. Meanwhile, Gus is having a meltdown, feeling like he's being cornered. The smoke alarm goes off and Jesse somehow breaks free. In-laws call and said they're going to be there in 20 minutes. Jesse grabs the gun from Gus and shoots the smoke alarm.
Jism.
It was making the... Oh, jism?
That's the word you use.
That irks you?
No, it doesn't irk me. It wasn't as gross as I thought it was going to be. Once I remembered it.
And now, trying to hide during the dinner and the eventual house-to-house searches, because they found out that that's going to happen now with the state police being involved, Gus is pretending to be the marriage therapist. Murray calls to tell Gus he got a boat, but it needs work. He needs at least an hour to get the boat worked.
That's just so he can fuck that lady, isn't it?
I hope that that's true.
Yeah.
It probably was.
He just needs to plow the current captain of that boat.
That fun little boat with the lights on it.
So, yeah, the family shows up, and it's announced by the fucking... I think she's a great actress, but just her voice grates on me. She's like, Caroline, we're here.
The mom.
Christine Baranski?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Guess what? Connie, the sister-in-law, was right. Caroline did make a weird fucking ass pagan Christmas dinner full of graphic tellings of women being burned alive, and they all have to wear candle headdresses.
I love the headdresses.
Every single one of these assholes puts grapes in the potato salad.
What?
Yup.
What is
that? They pull some real heinous.
You don't eat potato
heinous
salad.
White people shit. I know what it's supposed to be, and it's not supposed to have fucking grapes in it. And these are the types of people that put grapes and raisins in that shit.
Oh, you mean in chicken salad?
Whatever type of salad.
Pasta salad.
No, he's thinking of like a Waldorf salad, which is like chicken salad but with like apple chunks and nuts and grapes and raisins.
This is a real thing.
Oh, you're looking up the Swedish thing.
Star Trading Lucia Christmas Crown.
Nice. Get me one.
Guess what you guys are getting for Christmas?
All right.
St. Lucia candle crown?
This is our new Christmas tradition.
Oh, shit. Look at that. That's pretty gothic looking.
Yahoo.
Yo, I could totally see Reagan from The Exorcist wearing this thing.
All right.
While at dinner, Gus, Caroline, and Lloyd are all getting the third degree from everyone else, like the mom's calling out, Dr. Wong, you don't look like a Wong, judging everything, and he's like, not really trying to pretend, but he's just like, yeah, my patients are wackos. You call your patients wackos? Yeah.
I do like it. It's funny. Plus, they're drinking, or the Judy Davis is like...
Yeah, she's getting... She's getting
snockered.
Yeah, she's getting lit. Yeah.
Dennis Leary's really showing his chops here, too. Mm-hmm.
And then it's found out that Lloyd told his mother about Caroline's affair.
You told your mother?
He's such a mama's boy. But also they're financially dependent on her because she has a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. We should have said that. The mom is like fucking rich as fuck. And
she charges them interest.
18%.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
they had a restaurant. He took out a loan for the restaurant and she charges predatory loan prices.
Yeah,
for the money.
She sucked.
The dinner goes from bad to worse as Caroline gets drunk and Gus just lets the family have it.
They'll implode.
I only know one person that can get that hammered that quickly at dinner.
Who?
Tammy.
Oh.
Yeah, if I don't eat.
Yeah, that's why he says, why don't you eat something, dear?
Well, none of them were eating. Plus, it's like, no offense to Sweden, but it's like gross. Cold fish.
Yeah.
Like, you must eat that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a can of herring. It's not that hard. What do you need to go to Scandinavian cooking school for? To open up a can?
I wonder what their restaurant was that they tried to open.
Italian.
Food. Oh.
Because it was, because remember.
Your hands are so loud, dude.
Because she was like, you canceled the restaurant because of one review. And he was like, it was the New York Guide to Restaurants. And if they say, if any Hindis are trying to take a break from fasting, go to this place. Yeah, maybe you think about it and not do it anymore.
Aww.
And I guess now Gus is like, you know what? Fine, fuck it. We're gonna open presents. Much to Connie's dismay. We have to wait until midnight. That bullshit that Allie was...
It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre. There are kids in the house staying up till midnight. Like, never.
I'm sorry, my grandmother would definitely never be able to stay up till midnight. Or my parents. Or me, for that matter.
Especially after a meal like that.
Ugh. Well, nobody ate, so that's...
Everyone's got, like, bubble gut, and they got the burps, the fish burps.
Ew!
You know the ones.
Fish burp.
So now opening presents gets even worse than a dinner because of, you know, drunk-ass Caroline eventually just lets it out and calls Grandma a cocksucker.
Yeah, because she is.
Which, come
on. She probably
on.
Doesn't even do it well.
As much as you hate...
A lot of teeth.
As much as you hate Judy Davis in this movie, you gotta give her props for calling that bitch a cocksucker.
Yeah,
I don't hate Gina Davis at all.
Judy Davis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's funny, and then the sister-in-law kind of chimed, because she's like, get my bag. And she's like, get it yourself. He's not your servant. Yeah. Well, she speaks very, like,
says,
can
do
you
not
imagine
pass
if
go.
We said something like that to our mother-in-laws?
No.
They wouldn't be like, yeah, she put that bitch in her place.
Yeah, no.
She's a lot.
But also, it's like the two sons, and like, no matter who her sons married, none of them were ever going to be good enough for the sons. So, you know, that's just the way that woman is.
Yeah, that is how Monster-in-Law is, that movie.
Oh, with Jane Fonda?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, after Grandma gets called a cocksucker, Caroline and Lloyd now just lay all their cards out on the table. Caroline's announcing that they're getting a divorce, but Lloyd's just like, look, you know what? If you want to get a divorce, here's the deal, though. This whole thing that you hate was your idea. This whole taking a loan from my mother and living in this house, you said we should consider it.
Yeah, that's true. You have to take responsibility for
To which for Kevin Spacey is just like, did I make the decision? Sure, because you just fucked off after suggesting it.
Yeah, because you can tell Judy Davis is she's one of those people that like now regrets moving to Connecticut and being a wife and a mother. But back then when she was like, I can't stand the city anymore and we need to be somewhere safe. She's one of those non-content people who's like, I want to, you know, I went to school for women's studies. Now I'm going to be a teacher and now I'm going to learn how to make pottery. She's the people that they make fun of when they do like house hunters. It's like, I make $100,000 a year selling sweaters made from my belly button lint. And we are looking for a $1 million house.
Oh, she's the fucking problem for sure. Yeah,
you can tell, like, that she's just never going to be content because she's never been able to find her own way.
I've been involved in every multi-level marketing.
I have Scentsy available right now.
I got Avon. I got these weird leggings that people are into.
So, like, everybody starts yelling, to which then Kevin Spacey grabs the one small boy, takes him into the other. I mean, no, he starts smashing against the Christmas tree. And it's like, excuse me, the corpse still has the floor.
What does she give the kid? Doesn't she give him something like insanely inappropriate that basically calls him fat?
Yeah,
oh, underwear.
Boxers.
Those
she got him husky boxers.
Those are the husky size.
They're large.
Yeah. You need to watch your weight.
Make sure your weight doesn't become a problem, you fat piece of shit.
Man.
Which then, of course, causes everyone to go off on grandma. Like, Connie's like, get it yourself. Slipper socks. Medium. And then even the limp dick noodle brother is like,
what she said.
Just as this is all coming to a head, someone shows up at the door, doorbell goes off, he looks out, Dennis Leary's like, holy fuck, is the fucking army? Who am I, Oswald?
Oh, that's right.
Because Siskel shows up.
I'm here for my pictures of Spider-Man.
I'm here for my pictures of me beating off the Spider-Man. And yeah, Siskel shows up and he exposes Jesse about his blackmailing. Gus then takes grandma at gunpoint and everybody's like, go ahead, shoot her.
Yeah, you're not, yeah.
I would fire Glynnis Johns out of a cannon into a pool of fire ants and glass.
Oh my.
And then he has the kids tie up all the adults.
That's fun.
That is like a fun activity. You get to teach him knots.
He's like, grandma's chewing out of her gag.
And then a fact about at that one point when like they're tying up all the adults and the grandmother's like still talking and Dennis Leary's like, hey lady, you know what? Let me tell you something. Your husband ain't dead. He's hiding. That's a direct quote from the classic Abbott and Costello routine, Susquehanna Hat Company, that was immortalized in the film In Society. Now everything comes to a head and out of nowhere, Fruitcake Santa shows up drunk off his ass. Well, we did see some clips. I didn't talk about it, but he's visiting people and he's just getting drunk as he's visiting everyone.
He likes his champagne.
Wasted.
As the movie goes on,
he gets thrown out of the one house that he went to.
And he pisses in the front yard.
One kid was like, why don't you have some milk, Santa? And he goes, Santa's lactose intolerant. You want me shit farting down people's chimneys?
So Fruitcake Santa shows up and Gus knocks him out just as the state police show up.
They're very Barney Fife.
Well, no, the state police are supposedly better than the regular police. What they decide is Jesse is going to take Gus, Dennis Leary, dressed as Santa, through the small path in the woods. Lloyd and Caroline are going to pretend that they were still tied up. They do their whole bit about them arguing, which throws the state police off. And Jesse and Gus make it to the harbor, and Gus narrowly escapes because the Barney Fife cops, the local cops, think he's the drunk guy.
Right.
See, this part is the most unbelievable to me. I'm sorry. There's no way Dennis Leary, he couldn't Stockholm Syndrome a yellow lab puppy, let alone a family of wasps.
Apparently he found a way. Life finds a way.
He was a legitimate agent of change for the family.
Yes.
I see.
He was a Christmas
miracle. Yeah, when you think about it, he was kind of like the three ghosts that just showed up and told him to change their ways.
With a New York accent.
More he like told that kid, you know, don't be like me. It sucks.
Final fun fact about that, the original ending actually had Dennis Leary being caught by the police to show Jesse that a life of crime leads nowhere. However, after screening the movie to a test audience and receiving negative comments about the ending, Ted Demme changed it. He also later admitted regretting making that change to the ending. He would have gotten caught.
Yeah, like him riding out in the sunset.
Like him riding out into the sunset, doing, again, his bullshit MTV chain-smoking cigarette thing about what he was going to do. He's like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a bunch of fucking Roman candles and shove them up your ass and set you on fire. And while I'm watching the goddamn Charlie Brown Christmas special over your fucking ashes.
Just so our listeners know, there is a fake cigarette being held by Matt while he's
because, you know, I got to do the...
I think he's in Finding Nemo also.
Yeah, he's the angelfish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. No, he's no, not that's, the angelfish. That's Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, that's Willem Dafoe.
He's
holy shit.
But I think he is in the tank.
No, he's yeah. not. No, he's not? Not. He's not in Finding Nemo. The other kid franchise Dory? That he's in is Ice Age.
Oh yeah.
Is he's the saber-tooth tiger?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the end of my movie. Let's just go around the room. Pass, fail. Allie.
I'm going to pass it. I think it's funny. And I like the banter. And I'm not as offended by Judy Davis's Crypt Keeper face and, you know, electric hair.
That took work to watch that moment.
Pass.
Tammy?
It felt like Bandits all over again.
Okay.
That's all? That's all you got?
Yeah.
I see how. Okay.
I
don't
want to
extrapolate upon that at all. What didn't you like about it, Tammy?
I guess I didn't like how... I liked the family. I thought that that dynamic was funny. But I didn't like the whole, like, I'm a criminal in the house and I'm holding you all hostage.
You don't like when people and get held hostage in funny scenarios.
Have you seen Parent Trap?
No, apparently she only likes it when criminals break into the house on Christmas. Yes. Not when they hold them hostage.
Yes.
You probably, if it were just the beginning of the movie the whole time, she would have loved it.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. I didn't like him. And then he, like, lost control of the situation. And he wasn't even, like, in control of the family anymore. And then he could have escaped at any point. Come on.
Yeah, I kind of was confused by that, too. I know there was the manhunt and there was a curfew. But it seemed like the whole, like, I gotta wait for him to call. He's gonna get us a getaway vehicle. Blah, blah. It's just like... Why don't you just walk somewhere? I don't really feel like anyone's going to stop you, mostly because everyone in this town are idiots.
Yeah, but also it's still a small town, and they would recognize somebody that isn't someone they don't know.
He dressed up like Santa and got away with it.
Yeah, because they
thought he was George.
They thought he was the other guy that was dressed as Santa.
The drunky guy.
If he was just walking around looking like Dennis Leary and chain-smoking walking down the street, he would have gotten pinched.
So maybe. It gets dark at 5 o'clock, 4:30 now.
Yeah.
He could have been out of there in the dark, walking around the woods.
Yeah, like 3 o'clock, 3:30.
Yeah.
I don't think he was appropriately dressed, though, either. He didn't seem to have a very warm coat.
I got a question.
He also got mauled by a dog.
That's true.
Matt, how was the subplot with the military man resolved? Did they just say, we'll figure it out? Where are the pictures? Does the kid have to give the money back? What's going on here?
They said basically if they give J.K. Simmons his pictures of him getting his jollies off with Spider-Man and give him back his money,
he'll
just say bygones be bygones.
So does the kid still have to go back to military school?
Yeah.
I guess so.
that's what I'm hearing.
Shit.
Yeah, well, sorry. It didn't get...
Military school sucks.
We didn't get it
10 years later.
It only made $11.5 million. We're not getting the Ref 2 Easter Boogaloo.
They were gonna get a divorce and now they're kissing on the stairs.
Yeah, because they got Stockholm syndromed into loving each other again.
They're reconciled.
Like, oh, you tied my mom upstairs? You bad boy.
Ooh.
She's all tied up.
Look.
I showed her.
I can't wait until next time we record and the two of you talk about the Tessa Bailey book about Tie Up My Mom or Tie Up My Mom series.
Oh, my God.
I want more. I'm stuck in a dryer, okay?
I'm stuck in a dryer.
Oh, no. What are you doing with my pants?
Oh, no.
I'm stuck here.
One of us is a hockey player. Oh, God.
You guys are good at this.
You are good at this. She does have one. It's called window shopping.
I was just checking the lint trap, and I became stuck inside this machine.
You have this can of Simonizer. That reminds me of my grandpa.
Oh. Yes. These porns you watch where someone's getting stuck in the dryer.
If they're not stuck in a bunk bed, they're stuck in a fucking dryer. I don't know what to tell you.
I've never seen this scenario in any way.
You're right. You haven't seen it because you've read it.
The internet is vast.
That is true.
You seen porn where people get stuck in a bunk bed?
Yeah.
Is it by 600 pounds?
Ew. Oh, Kyle would watch that. He loves it.
Did you see the episode where she goes, I think I'm pregnant?
No.
And the doctor's got to go, fucking how? No, there's no way.
She says, why do you think that? She's like, because I've been craving a lot of stuff like water. And her sister in the headshot is like, bitch, you're just dehydrated.
Like, that's like what, crazy. Yeah.
Did he like cover his arm with a plastic bag and like go in?
Oh, no, it's a woman.
Inseminating a cow?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is the sisters, the 1,000-pound sisters.
Oh. So, did they inseminate themselves?
One of them did get pregnant. Like, one of them has a kid. The size of a string bean.
How much of a running start do you got to get to land on that cum-covered toilet seat to impregnate yourself?
Ugh.
You're so gross.
That's so disgusting.
All you need is a turkey baster anyway.
You'd lose that turkey baster in there for sure.
Ew.
That's as good as gone. You get another one. Off Amazon, two
days
later.
So a fail, Tammy?
I thought we moved on to Guido.
No. See, this is the shit why I didn't do Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, you guys are gross.
You would have been sitting over there thinking about how the fucking Ghost of Christmas Present looked like one of the fat sisters from My 600-Pound Life and made this whole turkey. And you'd be like, what's in the singing of the turkey baster choir? Stick it up and get it stuck on the fryer.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's true, you find love.
Okay.
It feels like Christmas.
No, I would
you
never.
You guys are fucking gross.
We never would have done that.
I would have never done that to that movie.
I absolutely never
would
have done that.
You are just degenerates that don't appreciate high art.
That's what I'm talking about.
I absolutely would have talked about your favorite song in that movie. The love is gone.
That's your favorite song?
The love is gone.
Are you chubbed up right now?
Are you going to cry?
No, I'm putting in papers for separation. How dare you?
I'm just going to tie you both to your chairs, all right? And then we'll scream at each other.
Okay.
So, real quick, Amelia is going to be embarrassed right now because Amelia, we found out she ate 8 brownies in 2 days. So I told her Cosmic brownies. So I told her we had to call ahead to the water treatment plant and tell them to expect a giant crap coming so they could adjust all their machinery. And then Amelia cried and said, please don't tell people about my big poops. And it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
So wait, can I get to bring that up? Be like, hey, thanks a lot. I was trying to take a shower today and I heard that your big poop was going through the water.
No, you're not allowed to. I'm sure you'll do it anyway, but no, you're not allowed to.
Fuck yeah, well.
She's
going to be like, no.
She'll be upset.
As far as she knows, it hasn't left the house, so.
Oh.
It's still in a bucket in the basement.
Ew.
She's waiting for her dad to just take it and throw it off of a cliff of an island in New England.
I just need a big gust of wind so it could blow that log back at me.
Teach her to shit off a bridge like her dad does.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I could, I would.
Yeah.
We do. All right.
Oh, yeah, let me, it's my turn. Let me consult the last note of my notes. This movie smells like piss.
It is true.
It is true. I enjoy the healthy, quick-witted banter that characters have, and I like all the mean things Kevin Spacey said to his on-screen wife, so I passed the movie.
75%.
All right. We kept saying that it's the band, and it's Christmas time. Everybody's been practicing real hard, and maybe Santa Claus will get you a drum set.
I need you to stop referencing that song.
Hey, man! Come on, Clarence. Come on, Tammy. You tell me you practice real hard. Maybe Santa'll get you a new drum set. Come on, Tammy, quid pro quo!
So my movie follows the lives of 8 very different couples in dealing with their love lives in various loosely interrelated tales, all set during a frantic month before Christmas in London. My movie is Love Actually. It came out in 2003.
Are you upset that you're not doing it?
No.
And it's rated R.
And where
Love Actually is rated R?
Yeah, there's tits in it.
Oh my God, there's tits in it?
There's multiple tits in it.
I think I've only ever seen the TV version. I cannot wait to see the HBO version of the titty Christmas movie.
2 different tits in it.
We got 4 boobs?
Yeah.
Just fair warning, one of them is Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
Fuck this. I'm not watching it. I'm not doing that.
Rosie O'Donnell.
You can watch it on Max.
Nice.
Or Prime Video.
Great. So.
I'm excited. I love.
Nah, it's no.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes.
I feel it in my
so excited.
Fingers. I feel it in my bones.
It is not bones.
It is.
It
wet
is
blanket.
Not bones.
Stop stealing my fun, hussy. All right.
poops are all around me. Cosmic brownies make them grow. It's stuck in the plumbing.
Oh my god.
Come
okay.
on and let it flow.
Okay.
This is gold.
So
if you really love shitmas.
Oh my god.
Come on and let me know.
Right. I am so happy right now.
Great. Awesome.
All right, you can debut your life. New song at the Friendsgiving celebration. Yes.
Can you please stand on the kitchen table when you do it?
Oh, goodness. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod at across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.